Welcome to the on-call room.
A Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome to our, I was going to say penultimate, but it's the ultimate episode of 2020.
Yeah.
Thank God.
We're almost done with 2020.
Almost.
We're almost done with Grey's Anatomy. We're almost done with this podcast.
Except not.
Not really.
I do feel like, though, because we're currently talking about season 17, that when we get to that, we'll just be like, refer to the episodes we recorded in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, but these are just like hot takes, so maybe we'll have different takes. I'm sorry. I don't know. Or maybe we'll just have like co-hosts the whole time and they'll just run the episodes.
That sounds good.
We won't even say
we'll just be there.
Yeah.
I think that sounds great. If this is your first time listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast that deep dives every episode. We are currently caught up to season 10. And instead of jumping right into season 11, we thought it would be fun to give our initial reactions of the newest season, season 17. So if you, starting in the new year, we're going to resume a little bit of a normal schedule and start releasing our weekly episodes starting with season 11. So if you're into that, please stay tuned.
If you're into that.
Ooh. Yeah. Also, if you've caught up with the whole podcast and you have nothing else to listen to, maybe consider being a patron. For $5 a month, you get all of our bonus episodes.
Which there are some good ones.
They're silly.
There are, like, I would say the earlier ones, maybe not great, similar to the earlier episodes, but like, We did some character deep dives.
Yeah, we should do more of those.
Yeah.
And you can do that by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can also just pledge $2 a month and join our Facebook group, which is really fun while these new episodes are airing. I know we don't get another one until March 4th.
Ah, so long.
But you can at least read the old threads or help speculate, or I'm sure there's going to be Grey's news coming out over the new year. So
yeah,
it's a fun place to be.
And even if there isn't news, like, people share stuff about their lives and
yep.
things, and it's great. It's a cool community. So go there.
Also, you can follow us on Instagram at the On-Call Room Pod.
And you can rate and review us. 5 scalpels, please.
I haven't looked to see if we...
We went back down to 4.5, but
who
like...
Who did that?
I don't know. It's fine. Whatever. It's probably because, like, I just coughed and they're like... Shitty sound quality, shitty women. Instead of little women, it's
Wow, speaking of Little Women, that happened about a year ago.
I thought about that like 2 days ago, and I wanted to watch.
That's going to be my holiday movie, I have decided. Like, yes. I would like to watch it on Christmas Day. I feel like it's Christmassy.
Yeah. And like, just the scene where she talks.
Laura Dern talks to her?
No.
Or no?
Like... Joe talks mm-hmm. about like wanting to be bigger than what she is or whatever. Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day. Ugh. And standing in a field.
In a, like a, one of those dresses.
Yeah.
Have you been getting ads for something called the Nap Dress by, what's the, I'm sure you're going to get them now.
Oh, I'm sure.
I can't think of what the company's called. It starts with an H, but I was getting them all over the place. They're like these very like Little Women-esque looking dresses that are like, they're cute, like they're plaid kind of, but they look a little like Laura Ingalls Wilder. Like,
okay, yeah.
And one of my favorite podcasts, Kate Kennedy's podcast, she talked about how like we as women have like fought so hard for our rights to vote and our rights to all these things and like equal rights, but why are we dressing like we don't have the right to vote? like it's literally like these old, and she's like, I just don't understand this. It's very funny.
Understand the
Reminds
fashion.
Me of your nightgowns a little bit.
I love my nightgowns. I have some like cute nightgowns, but then I have a nightgown that I bought for my mother for Christmas that I decided to keep instead. So if that gives you an image, what that looks like, poor John, when I wear that. Good night, honey, with my little cardinals all over my long sleeve nightgown.
He's got long hair now, so I feel like his colonial ponytail. Like, you guys look like, honestly, it could be any era.
Colonial ponytail. Oh my God, we could be in any era. I bought this. Did I tell you about my Christmas Eve dress?
No.
So I bought a Christmas Eve dress, which is kind of peasanty. So it's coming full circle here. But like, it's green. I'll show you after.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's like green and it has little flowers on it, but it kind of has a little Mrs. Claus vibe. So I think John and I are going like Mr. and Mrs. Claus. I'm going to make him, just for a photo, wear his like really tiny glasses, and I'm going to wear my round glasses.
Are you going to make him wear a wig? or a red suit.
I might put a bonnet on. I'll put my shower cap on and then
please, I will come over to take that photo.
Yeah, we're definitely going to look like Mr. and Mrs. I mean, like a cuter Mr. and Mrs. Claus.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I am so, there's that TikTok going around of that little whippet dog that's like that couldn't wear it. Like all of the outfits it had. And I feel that because I feel like I had a lot of great clothes lined up for this winter.
Yep.
And no one
cares.
No. And like, I want to dress up and have people see me.
I know. You could just wear it to the grocery store. Or you could just go dress up and stand on my deck. I'll look at you.
And wave to you.
Yeah. I would do that for you.
Rate it out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah. You can go back into your car and you can change your clothes.
That's perfect.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, if I were dressing up, well, I mean, we're going to have an outdoor thing on Christmas Eve, but I got this hot pink sweater that I showed you the picture
of. Oh, right.
I don't own hot pink.
No, it's like fluorescent neon pink.
But like not in an ugly way,
there was like a season where Forever 21 did these really like highlighter colors.
It's more like Lisa Frank pink.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
But I figured with gold hoops, I texted Brie and I was like, do I look like the mom from Parent Trap? Which I know the stepmom. I know she doesn't really wear that, but it feels like her vibe.
Very much.
Rich, weird.
Like almost like a little over the top going to Aspen.
Yeah. Yes. Like I don't ski, but I'm going to Aspen. I guess that is the vibe that I'm going to go for.
Yeah. Like you're going to be lounging.
Right. I'm getting my hair done after Christmas just to remove it all. To remove some of the blonde because it's just a little much. And I feel like it'll look better. I can wear pink. Something about like when you have, well, and this is me. I'm not talking for other people. Like I picture when I have really blonde hair, pink, it's like too Barbie-ish.
Oh.
But I feel like if it's a little more darker, then it's like...
Then you can.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know.
But I also think Heather McMahon with that pink sweater looked so good.
So
she inspired
good.
Me.
Heather McMahon, if you listen to this podcast, congratulations on getting married to the Italian Stallion. And if you guys don't... I would rather you follow Heather McMahon than the on-call room, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather you follow her Instagram than ours because she is so fucking funny.
And she has a podcast called The Absolutely Not Podcast that is hilarious. Anytime a new episode airs, I save it for when I'm cooking by myself and I put my AirPods in and I pour a glass of wine and I just listen to her talk for like an hour and a half.
And giggle
lots. Yeah. So, okay, what are you manifesting for the new year before
we
get into Grace?
Oh, God,
we
didn't know we were doing this.
Well, I just...
Wedding.
Brie just said a wedding. I would like to manifest that for you also.
Yeah, so just making sure like that all gets figured out.
Oh, my God. Also, that's like only 6 months away.
6 months away. I have nothing planned.
That's true, you don't.
Not a single thing.
You have a photographer.
I have a photographer.
And an officiant.
And I have my wedding dress.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's right.
I actually have my wedding dress. Like, I didn't order it. So, it's in my parents' house.
Really?
Yeah, it's laying on a bed in its bag. I have to get, like, slight alterations on it, unless something happens to my body, which very well could happen. So,
we're not ruling anything out.
Who knows? Other than that, we don't really have anything planned. So, that's okay.
Your stress level is going to grow.
Yeah.
Because I think once the new year happens, you're going to be like, okay, now there's not the holidays next.
Yeah, like my mom and I have been talking and she was just like, she's like, we need to figure out food. And I was like, nope, not until the new year. I'm not doing anything over this, like, you don't even get to talk to me about it.
That makes sense.
But yeah, once like January 2nd hits, I have a feeling my mom's going to be like, so when are we going to figure out what's going on here? Because
that's good. That's what we need moms for.
Yeah, so I'm going to manifest a wedding and then I'm also going to manifest... somehow getting my schooling done in one semester. They're just like, you're so great. You need no more training. And you are done.
You were giving great advice last night. I already think you could be a paid therapist.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Bree's really good at, or you've just had enough life experiences.
I might have just been through a lot of fucking shit to be like, yo, hear me out. You don't want to go through what I went through. So yeah, that's what I'm manifesting. What are you manifesting?
I am manifesting...
wearing really cool outfits.
Yeah, honestly, yes. I'm manifesting big gatherings of my personal life, but still small weddings. I'm manifesting the same work-life balance I had this year.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow more money.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah. Maybe I'll find a site. I'm manifesting in-person dance classes.
Cool.
I really want to teach an in-person, sweaty, we're all shaking our asses dance class. That's like one of my main ones. And then I'm also manifesting McCoy not hurting himself again.
Those are weird, so boring. I thought you were going to say something about McCoy. I don't know why I felt that, but really? I was like, McCoy's going to be in there.
He needs a good year. He's had a rough year.
Yeah. I also like want to manifest like the world.
Yeah.
Just the world. Just want to manifest the world.
Yeah. The world. Yeah. Just as a whole.
We all just need a break.
I'd like to manifest an all-inclusive vacation.
Oh, I'm down for that.
Okay. You'll have a bachelorette something before your wedding, but I feel like no matter what it is, it's not going to be what we like
planned
right this winter, which never happened. So I think we could always do a post wedding.
That's fine.
All inclusive.
Yeah. I'm just down for whatever. Just please take me away. And cowboy, take me away.
And listeners, I just want you to know I'm going to force Bree and John to re-propose to Bree on New Year's Eve.
Oh, close the portal.
To close the portal that they opened.
To hell. Yeah, something opened when he proposed. I responded in a very
questionable way.
Yeah, it was not great.
We're going to redo it at midnight and the clocks will... It's like Freaky Friday. It's all going to go, yeah. Whoa.
But what if I like end up in John's body then? Oh my God.
What if you have to go through your wedding, not as the bride, but as John?
Oh my God. Wow. Gender roles.
All I'll say is that if that happened, John, which would be you, would have a dope ponytail for the wedding because you would be doing it yourself. And
oh, yeah.
His hair would look great.
Slicking that thing back. I told him he should get his hair done on wedding day. I said, go see Todd.
Have someone do a good ponytail.
Go pay for someone to slick your hair back in a nice ponytail so you can look like Tommy the Green Ranger.
I don't know who that is.
The Power Ranger? My first crush.
He had long hair?
Yeah. He had a slick ponytail. Wow.
Things have come full circle.
Yeah. So there's that.
Wow. So listeners, let us know in the Facebook group, though, for real, let us know what you are manifesting.
Yeah.
Shout out to our moderator, Jade, who sent us luggage tags to manifest that we travel. I would like to meet some listeners in real life. Next year.
That would be really cool.
What if we had a live event? We've talked about this before.
So many times. I think about 12 people would show up and it would be
12 is a lot.
The best time. I mean, like 12 people we don't know.
Right.
No, I mean 12 people including the people we know.
Including our husbands.
Yeah. And I would be so nervous to have a live event. Like, what do people even do in a live event? Do they have talking points?
I think they just do, probably.
Yeah.
But they just do. But our best episodes are when we don't have talking points.
Yeah, that's very true. But we have to have a certain amount of wine in us.
Yes. Not too much.
Not too much, but just enough.
I think by the time the podcast ended, we'd have to have consumed a bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Between the two of us.
Oh, I thought you were saying like the podcast as a whole. And I was like, Abby, we have consumed way more than a bottle of wine over these years.
We're drinking coffee this morning.
You know, I wonder how much wine has gone into this podcast.
We could average it out at like, it's not a bottle an episode because there's many that we don't drink, but there are some where two or three, like we've stayed late. So I bet we could figure out the math of that.
Yeah.
Earlier seasons are way worse.
There was tequila involved in those seasons.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's White Claws.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like those nights. I don't like White Claw.
I like them if I'm on a boat.
Yeah, but
when
not
I'm
like
inside podcasting, it doesn't give me a buzz.
It just tastes like,
makes me full.
It just tastes like garbage.
I should be drinking. Okay, next time we're like, hey, you want to visit? Let's just be like, let's drink LaCroix. If we're not going to get drunk, let's hydrate.
Yeah, for okay, sure.
Okay, perfect. Well, we have some stuff to talk about today.
Yeah.
I mean,
should we just get into it?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So this was the last episode, No Time for Despair.
Turns out there was a lot of despair.
Yeah, a lot of despair. I'm going to read the monologue because, like, we're just going to do that. So, when a virus finds its way into our bodies, our immune system unleashes an attack. It puts up a good fight and it stands down. Or at least that's what it's supposed to do. Sometimes the system works so hard that it completely goes off the rails. Immune cells start attacking healthy tissue. They flood the lungs, clot the blood, cause vessels to leak and shut down organs. Our body wreaks havoc on itself. It's called the...
Cytostorm?
Yeah, thanks. And it takes a miracle to stop it. Sometimes when you think the storm has passed, you realize you were just in the eye of it, which was at the end. She says that.
And she's on a vent.
On a vent. So.
I would also like to say that that monologue is like exactly what WebMD was telling me when I had COVID and I was Googling things about myself. Oops. I just remember hearing, that was me. I hit the table.
Oh.
Hearing all about that and being like, okay, cool. When's this going to happen? So
that's so scary.
They probably just pulled that from WebMD.
Probably. Some intern writer was like, I got the monologue this time. WebMD.
But cytostorm, I think that's how you say it. Such a frightening word.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was, we
is
didn't
Cyto?
Really...
Is C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E.
There's a K in there?
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to say it.
Maybe it's a silent K. Who knows?
Maybe it's a typo. The nurses and doctors are screaming at us
right
now.
Idiots, why do you have this podcast?
There wasn't a lot of beach time.
No.
We
like
didn't even see...
brief moment.
We didn't even see Derek.
Yeah, which... How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it because that means there's more beach and Derek to look forward to.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they could throw that all out to us in the first couple episodes.
So I feel okay that it, and I honestly, like, I am in the camp. I don't think Meredith's going to die.
Yeah.
Even though I do think the storyline of her, like, choosing not to again is a little overdone. So I'm hoping that they do it in a different way. But I am looking, I'm not happy that she's not doing well, but I'm excited about more beach time and who else will show up there.
Right.
I didn't want that to be done yet.
Mm-hmm. There, I'm sure, well, there was a listener that we were talking with and I think they made a really good point about like, it seems kind of insensitive if the storyline ends up being like, go back and choose your family.
Right.
For like all the COVID patients.
Who would have done that but couldn't.
Didn't have a choice. But it also feel, they said like it would also feel kind of like a bad joke if she did die because it's like a bit almost because they've been so many times. So I don't know how they're going to get out of this one.
No, I feel like it's going to I would love if Christina came back and had to work on her. Although I do feel like that's unrealistic. Like there are doctors in the US.
Yeah, that you don't need to like pull Christina in.
Right. So I don't know. I don't think she's going to die, though. I can't imagine.
That's how they end Grey's Anatomy. Because we know that Grey's is not continuing without Meredith Grey.
Right. And also, there's just been so much loss for, like, Zola and for, like, which I know that that's real life. Like, that does happen. People do lose both of their parents. But I don't understand how they could round this out.
Yeah.
Unless it was some weird, she's been dead this whole time. But Lost already did that, so.
Oh, right.
So they can't do that.
Maybe she is. Or the thing of
the
like,
island is the island in Lost. The beach.
just keeps piling on. No, that she's had Alzheimer's this whole time.
Right. Which still doesn't,
it doesn't make
sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I just really loved, I keep thinking back to the George episode. I'm really happy they had that closure.
Yeah, I am too. I'm just saying like, I'm happy that I'm not a writer on Grey's Anatomy because writing out this shitstorm of a thing because I don't think you don't want to be super insensitive to like what is going on and I don't think they have been this far so I don't know.
Talking about Meredith too, I guess we can say so she wakes up, her vitals are better, her oxygen levels are better, all these things, and Tom Krasick is the other doctor that has COVID of the cast members. He is in a room with a man who we find out his name is Hector Martinez, and Hector's just like coughs a lot. Like he doesn't, I don't think they talk really.
Yeah.
But he ends up like coding and Tom is in there. And it's so sad because Tom has seen a billion codes.
Yeah.
But I feel like not while he has the same thing that the person next to him. And just the way that like, they're all, even like, I think someone pointed out that like, he is a high end doctor and he is having to share a room with someone else. Like it just goes to show like how much like not space there is, but it's so sad seeing him. And then when Hector dies and he asks Maggie, what was his name? I'd like to know his name. It's just so sad.
I know.
And he like names all the things that he observed. like his wife would FaceTime him and he would try to act like he was okay and all these things. And after that, Tom needs to be with someone who is surviving mm-hmm. and he goes and they hold hands with Meredith.
Yeah. And well, for a while he keeps asking about Meredith, like, is Grace still doing okay? Right. Is she still awake? Because I think it makes him feel better knowing that like someone came out of it and they are getting better. So like right. he has a chance to get better. And also too, the part when he says like, when they're like, do you really want to know his name or whatever? And he's like, yes, I knew nothing about him. And like, I want to know his name for my prayers. Just like you forget that Tom is like a man of faith.
Right, right.
You know, and then the conversation that he has with Meredith about like his son being like, you know, I'm really happy that my son isn't here, like having to worry about me and stuff. And then he's like, you know what? That's bullshit. Like, I wish my son was here.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, he's just experienced and gone through so much trauma in his life.
And while this is, they're having that conversation too, in the background, there's like codes being called and bodies being rolled by. Yeah. Like, it's just really intense. I love the little lightness when they like argue who's the best surgeon. Yeah.
Yes.
Also, how do you think Tom's going to take like Mare flatlining again? Which Meredith, why did you get up?
I know. I don't want to say a savior, but like, what is she?
She just can't, she
gives all of herself.
Yes, to her patients, right.
I don't know how Tom is going to take it because like, I think that's been what he's been holding on to for hope.
Right, right.
And to know that Meredith isn't doing well again, I think it's going to scare him.
This article on Vulture says, Mare's in her bed and sees that her neighbor across the hall is flatlining and the code team isn't anywhere to be found. You guys, this woman gets up out of her bed, scurries across the hall, and starts doing compressions. She was just on the beach of death, and now she is intubating a patient. All she is, like, breaking all of the protocols.
Also, why is there, like, I guess someone write in on the Facebook group who is a doctor or a nurse or works in like the medical community. Like there's a whole staff of people and I don't know if they're nurses. I don't know what they are, but they're like, wait for the code team. Like, why couldn't those people step in? So Meredith isn't,
yeah, I don't know.
You know, doing something.
I have no idea. Write in.
I want to know.
So to end with the Mare thing, she ends up, she's at a breaking point, her lungs, says Teddy. And Teddy brings up to her, because Richard is her, what is it called? Point of attorney?
Power of attorney.
Power of attorney. To make the choice whether or not to put her on a vent. And I think they're scared too, because like a lot of times once you're on a vent, statistically, it's really hard to get off. But there's nothing else to do. It's the only way to keep her alive. And Weber agrees. It's so sad too, like how it ends with them slowly putting in the vent. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot.
Well, and two, like Teddy, you know, says just because she, like her lungs could have already been this bad. Like she could have had a COVID. What was it called then?
Well, they called it the surge.
No, that's Mark Sloan. It was like a COVID high or something.
Okay.
Where like she could have been getting better, but actually her lungs were already in a very terrible place.
Yes.
Oh, it's just so sad. And it's so sad because so many family members are going through that. And
this article, again, I won't just keep reading it, but it talks about the Mark Sloan storyline and how like he seemed fine and then wasn't, and how similar that is to the Mare thing.
Yeah.
Which Chief did call that the surge with Mark Sloan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
there's Mare on the beach.
Chilling.
Who else do we have?
We have, there was the storyline, which Bree and I did not watch Station 19. We caught the end of it, kind of, which was really powerful. So I don't want to like talk too much on that storyline just because I don't know a lot of the accuracies, but the two girls who were victims were brought in as well as the kidnapper because...
Well, the sex trafficking story was like brought back in from last season.
Yep. And all of them were brought to Grace Sloan. That's not what it's called. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Because the other Seattle Prez is full.
Yes.
And so that was like a big part of the storyline too.
Right. Like building out the cafeteria for patients and stuff.
Yep. And so there's like, yeah. So we learned that, I didn't know this, the sex trafficking lady, the red haired woman's name is Opal.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
I feel like her name should be Ginger.
Just because she has red hair?
Or Scarlet.
Scarlet? Or? Yeah.
Ruby. I was trying to think of what a stone with red, and I don't know why I said scarlet and ginger. Neither of those are crystals. Speaking of opal,
should be topaz.
Oh, yeah. I always wished that my birthday was in the one where opal is the...
Yeah, what's your birthstone?
Aquamarine.
Mine is topaz.
What color is that? Red?
Well, there's different types of topaz. It's like a semi-precious stone. And it's usually like orange, which I don't care for. But you can get blue topaz. Like, it's a really pretty, like, crystally blue. But it's not like a great birthstone.
Aquamarine.
Like, fuck the person who has diamonds.
Yeah.
Like, how is that fair? I have, like, a semi-precious bullshit stone.
For some reason, when you said semi-precious, I was thinking of those, you know, the stones that were, like, cat eye, I think it's called? They're, they're, like, black with, like, a line. I'll have to, you'll know when I
look. Are they opals?
No, but I just always, opals, like, my favorite. It's so pretty, and.
Yeah, or, like, people have, like, emeralds and stuff.
My mom always wore this necklace that had, like, my brother and I's birthstone on it, like, always. And she would always buy me things in my birthstone color. Yeah. And I hated it because I have blue eyes. And everyone bought me light blue growing up.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, it brings out your eye. And I, like, fucking have rebelled against that color, which I do like it now. But I was just like, enough with the light blue.
That's how, like... Are birthstones even a thing anymore? Because, like,
I don't think people do it anymore.
No, because growing up, you would get a ton of your birthstone
ornaments.
Shit.
I got, like, an angel ornament was the color.
You had those, like, little, like, angel things. Yeah, those angel ones that were, like, wire wings.
I had one.
Yeah, and it had, like, an orange head. Yep. Yeah, I had one, too. I just saw it on my parents' tree. And then those, like, dangly, like, kid things that were, like, necklace. Yeah.
I would just get ugly jewelry with that color. Yeah, like, everything.
It was actually my aunt who's my godmother. She figured out that you could get blue topaz, and that was because the orange one is, like, not pretty.
I wonder if that's what Jake's is too. Then it must be.
Yeah,
Trevor is January, so his was, it's like a dark red. I don't.
Oh, not granite.
No. I can't think of what it is, but you're gonna.
I'm gonna look up the list of birthstones.
Maybe I need to come to an acceptance with my birthstone.
Yeah, what is yours again? Aquamarine.
Uh huh.
That's. Birthstones by month. Okay. Oh,
what's January?
January is garnet, granite. February is amethyst. Very pretty.
Is that the purple one?
Yeah.
Ugh.
March is aquamarine. April is fucking diamonds. That's May is emeralds. June is pearl and moonstone. That's beautiful. July is ruby, onyx, and turquoise. That's beautiful. August is peridot, sardonyx, and spinel. Oh. Those the meanings are antidepressant and stress reliever. September is sapphire. Cool. October is opal.
Oh, no, October.
November.
You bitches.
Oh, is I can have citrine also and topaz. Citrine also is
that like a lime greenish?
It's
one?
A yellowish stone, and it's for, like, financial gains, like the crystal thing. So cool. And then December is turquoise, tanzanite, and zircon.
Why do they get three and I only get one?
I don't know.
What does aquamarine mean?
Calming and soothing. Okay. The birthstone is a traditional protective gemstone for travelers. The calming properties of this cool blue gem relieve stressful situation and is ideal meditation stone.
We should be more into birthstones.
Yeah, let's get back into this. Citrine, as it suggests, is a yellow gemstone which strengthens your willpower. According to some, topaz will teach us about forgiveness and truth. That's
nice. Do you like it now?
I think so. But I still wish I had diamonds. Wow.
See, I just want opal.
Or, like, honestly, I want moonstone. It's nurturing and purity and sacred femininity. That's not fair. Whoever has June.
Whoever made this is definitely an April diamond person.
Oh, that's what... You know what? John... is April. He has fucking diamonds. He's gonna have diamonds on his band, isn't he? Just diamonds on diamonds. Oh, but the meaning is love and faithfulness. That's nice.
Wait, Jake's a topaz too for November. So.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's
and
get back
should
into
we call time, should we call time death?
Okay.
I think next year, maybe for your birthday, I'll get you something with your birthstone.
Okay. I'll get you something.
Okay.
Citrine there though. Yeah.
It can't be like an angel
ornament.
Well,
it's just, I think too, it's like, okay, aquamarine, Pisces, water symbol. We get it. It's water, which I don't think aquamarine has anything to do with that. But I just felt like but I do like being a Pisces. I think that's fun.
Yeah, Pisces are cool.
Scorpios. Or I wasn't scorpions.
Well, I am a scorpion, so.
Okay.
Okay, guys.
Another favorite part about this episode, I'm going to start talking about my favorite parts, was when Weber told Teddy, this article says to stop being such a sad sack.
Yeah.
But to like own her actions.
Own her shit.
And figure out why she is doing this and why she is sabotaging her current life.
I kind of feel like, you know, a bit of like Richard's like AA came yes. out in him, you know, and like own your fucking shit.
Yep.
And do something about it.
Yes.
Which I'm so happy someone finally told Teddy. Like, she is walking around this hospital like she is a victim to something. When she has blown up two people's lives.
Right.
And her own, three people's lives.
Right. And I would say, too, the way that Richard says it is harsh and true, but it's not, like, unloving.
No, like, it's not, like, shamey.
No, I think it comes from a good place. And I think you're absolutely right that his AA, like, plays a big part. I really like that they've been incorporating more of that without even saying it. I just yeah. think, like, it makes a lot of sense. And then what's interesting is it leads to Teddy and Owen see each other outside the hospital, which I just, that scene before she started talking made me really sad because like when you love someone, but you're in a thing mm-hmm. and you're just like, fuck, how did we get here? But she sort of just like blurts out to him that Allison and her were more than friends. They were in love. And Owen has like this big laugh attack, which I saw on Twitter, people were tweeting Kevin McKidd being like, does this mean he like is like, there was a phrase for it, but like, against like being bisexual and things. And he was like, no. That's just his reaction, which I actually appreciated because it's like, what else
are you going to throw at me?
Right. And so their daughter is named after a woman she is in love with. The only thing I'll say is that I feel still a little disconnected to this because we didn't, even though we saw the episode where this happened, it came so much later in Teddy's character development.
Yes.
That it feels a little disconnected from her.
I totally agree. Like, it's like, it doesn't quite fit with her character, if that makes sense. And that's fine. Like, they can write things in. Yeah. And I think it's great that they have another bisexual character on the show. Like, that's important. But it just, like, it doesn't, there's just a disconnect, like you said.
And I think too, like the fact that it never came up in the first like the part when Teddy was first on the show yeah. with like Henry and Owen and like.
And Christina and yeah, all of that going on.
It's just interesting that it never came up. I just wish it, if they had done it, we had right away when we learned about Teddy, we also learned that background.
Yeah. And I think it's because they didn't know that they wanted to write that background right. and that's fine. But also I think Owen's response was, like, fair.
Yeah.
I think I would probably respond in the same way. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what else are you not telling me that's so
important
to you? And I don't think, too, like, I would be fucking pissed off, whether it was a man or a woman, if I had a child with John and we named them after someone he loved that yes. I didn't know about.
Whether they died or not.
Yeah, like, I would be like, wait a second, that's our right. child. Like,
right.
I didn't know this backstory. So I think it's fair that Owen responded in that way. I also think, you know, when Richard tells Teddy to like own her shit and stuff, not like that. Like there's a way to be tactful and like have a thoughtful conversation with someone and everything seems so self-serving with her. Like, I am hurting.
I need
to get this off my chest. Exactly. And I don't think that is fair to Owen. I'm not a big Owen fan, but like, Teddy, get your shit together.
Right. I agree. I'm trying to remember, did Owen suggest the name Allison?
No, I think it was Teddy.
Okay. I couldn't remember how that, because yeah. he just thought they were friends.
Yeah. Like right? best friends.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I am interested to see where that all goes. I don't know. She's got a lot of stuff to figure out before they get back together, if they do. And
yeah.
Also, it'd be interesting to see Owen be like, actually, I'm good.
Yeah.
So Owen also had a moment where he called the kidnapper the devil's barbecue.
Which is, I mean, Owen went very like, I will not treat you, but I have to. Because I'm a doctor.
That is exactly. You sound just like him. okay, let's talk about DeLuca. You had a little bit of a teary moment, which I did too, when, so DeLuca, his alarm goes off on his phone.
Yeah, he's like talking to Bailey about something. Oh, he's telling her to go rest because she won't. Her mom died yesterday.
Oh, when she couldn't go in the room.
Yeah. And so he's just kind of like, go take it. Like, not to be disrespectful, but like, go away. We don't need you. Yeah. Like, and you need to go rest or whatever. And then his alarm goes off and he's like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to be rude, but like, I have to go take my meds and go to bed.
Yeah.
And, Bailey is so proud of him. And I got super teary-eyed. Like, if I was alone, I probably would have cried really hard. But it was just like, dude, he's taking care of his mental health.
Yeah.
That's so important. And he, like, has come so far to, like, stop a conversation and have alarms set to make sure that he's okay and working through that. I'm like,
that's
he would
huge.
Be, like, the best patient to have and be like, you go.
Right. Yeah, it was a really beautiful moment, which scary because I sometimes fear that when characters are
doing really well.
Right. Something's going to happen. Also, there was that, he also says, and he's obviously talking about Bailey. He says that he's lucky to be surrounded by people who didn't give up on him, which is so true. I remember like that intervention-y moment with all of them. And it's just really beautiful. And then
I don't know why I feel so connected to that story because I don't even really care for DeLuca that much, but like, him, like, mentally being okay is like,
yes,
Andrea. Yes.
I wonder if it's because he was in such a bad place.
Yeah.
And, like, and also I think they're realistic. I like that they're not just like, oh, he's better now. I think it's important that it's like, oh, I'm taking medication. I have the alarm set to rest. Like, and I also think that when people, it is easy to give up on people when it feels like they're a lost cause. And the fact that this whole group of doctors didn't, it's really special.
Yes.
He then goes outside on his way to go take a nap and sees Karina, who we haven't seen a lot because she's on Station 19, I believe.
Yeah.
And they see Opal Ginger Snap.
Opal Ginger Snap.
And
Ruby Garnet.
He's not, I appreciated that he said to Karina, like, I'm on my meds. I'm rested. I'm not like this. She's right there, whatever.
Yeah.
But I still am like, don't go after her like this. Like he doesn't, like, he should just call
the police.
The police.
Well, I'm hoping, and she says that, and I'm hoping that they do on their way, but he's like, I have to follow her. Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy that Karina's going with. She's like, all right, well, I'm driving.
Right.
So maybe they'll call the cops as they're driving.
And
like, yeah, I'm hoping. Because she's involved in it too.
Right.
You know?
Right. So I hope so. Because I would hate to see something happen.
And it's all like, ooh, when they're like in the hospital and like hiding behind things.
Yes.
And he's like maybe going to see her. And then he sees her after he's rested in the parking lot.
He's in like a leather jacket.
Yeah.
The article says the hot Italians are going on a chase.
I am kind of happy too. They brought this storyline back in, I guess, because it was so.
It just like ended.
Abruptly, like whatever.
I think it's important for DeLuca's healing too.
And for the rest of the staff to see like, oh shit, he
was right.
He was right.
Yep. There's a note in here, I don't really, but Joe almost tells Weber that she's contemplating leaving surgery to become an OB, but she doesn't yet. So there's just a little bit of talk about that.
Yeah.
So we have that really important conversation too that I enjoyed that Maggie has with Amelia, because is it in the tent? Are they in the COVID tent when they have that?
Or are they in a break room?
I can't remember where they're at.
They might be in the COVID tent. I think you're right.
And it was just really important at like Amelia was outraged that it happened.
That there was sex trafficking. Like this guy, particular person.
Right. And then Maggie has this incredible moment where she talks about how it's not only that, but like these Black girls are being treated like they're disposable. They're not even like being acknowledged as victims by certain people. And she has this great quote that says, if COVID were killing white people at the rate that it is killing Black people, you better believe that everyone would be wearing masks because it would be the damn law. Which I think is just, again, I was really discouraged by, I follow the Grey's Anatomy group. It's like just some, I don't even think it's associated with Grey's, but like yeah. someone has a Facebook group. And there were some stupid ass comments in there. People being like, I'm so over like race being brought up constantly. These were like just poorly, whatever. And I just was like, no, like, I think it's so important that a show is bringing it up in such an like honest way. And I think I'm really appreciative how truthful to real life and just like, I don't even want to say bold because it shouldn't be a bold statement, but it feels bold because I think so many times TV shows are sort of like float over issues. And I just appreciate Grey's way that it's just diving deep and like using Maggie and Jackson and all of these really important characters to tell it. And I also appreciate that Amelia didn't like get defensive or like she just sat and listened.
And then she was like, you're right.
Which I think we need to do more of.
Yeah. I think too, while you were talking, I was just thinking about like people saying like, I'm so sick of this, like being brought into whatever and race. And it just made me think like, you're so sick of it because you don't think about it.
Right.
Like for other people, that is their life. And right. they have to think about it all the time. And you have the privilege.
Right.
As, at least I know I have the privilege as a white person that I don't have to think about my skin color.
Right.
And so like being like, I'm so annoyed that this keeps coming up. It's like, well, because you're not thinking about it. Right. And you should be thinking about it. And it should be a part of these shows. And because they do such a great job, like showing what's going on in real life. It's like, this needs to be talked about. And I like applaud the writers for like you said, like stepping right into it.
Yeah. And I hate when you have a thought
and it just floats away. That's my life. That is my app. Like unmute myself in a class and like, my name's Brianna. Mute again.
Well, you're talking about it being a privilege.
Not having to think about it, not having to think about your skin color.
Yeah, and they were like saying like that they're sick of it. And I think, fuck, I don't know what I was going to say. It was really profound too. God damn it. I applaud the writers. I applaud the way that I do also believe that like, that these actors and actresses like Maggie or Kelly McCreary, her name is, like, I feel like they are also getting a bigger role in, cause I was looking on Instagram and there is a nonprofit that Kelly works with. I think it's called the Black Girl Freedom Fund. Oh God, I'm fucking it up. Hang on, I'll look it up. But it was just so cool. I feel like their personal lives are being allowed to intermix with the writing. And it, to me, it is like really good storytelling and it is, we shouldn't have the privilege of like escaping from a TV show to get away from the real world. Like that is the real world. Like, yeah. like that. And I think it's important that it's reflected. So anyone who's watching the show, either A, gets an education or B, feels like their life is being reflected.
Yeah, too. Because it's not like you're watching some like, you know, historical right. like fiction show. Like right. you're watching a show that is based in real timeline. So wouldn't right. you think that it would be reflecting? Like, that is what Grey's has always done. So if you have a problem with that, then maybe don't watch Grey's Anatomy anymore.
Exactly. Yep. It is the Black Girl Freedom Fund. It's a call to invest $1 billion in Black girls over the next 10 years to close the chasm of access caused by structural violence against Black girls. Mm. And there's more about it in her on her Instagram page. And Ellen Pompeo shared it too. And it's like really cool. It's a really cool thing. She says, Kelly says, what does freedom mean to you? To me, it's the little things and big things. It's having a life full of joy, of laughing loudly in public without consternation. It's loving whoever we want. It's safety in our homes. It's making mistakes and finding redemption and so much more. And it ought to start when we're young. I believe investing in Black girls so that they have a chance to have joy, to be safe and free, to grow up healthy and thriving. Blah. So
that's beautiful.
The
and
joy.
She like, well, I was just going to bring up how Maggie talks about stealing Black girls' joy.
Yes.
And how that was so powerful to like listen to. And then for her in her real life to right. be working to, did she start that nonprofit?
No, I think she's just a supporter of it.
That's great.
I feel too, it's a great little moment too, when she's in the hotel feeling like helpless. I think just helplessness over everything. And there's a knock at the door and it's Winston.
And because he was super weird on the call earlier when he was like, I need to go get eggs or something. Is that what he said?
He had to go do something. And he was talking about how he doesn't like distance or something. Like,
yeah. And he like, he was like in a car and he hung up the phone on her. And she was like, well, that was a breath.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we thought like maybe he was, I don't know.
Like, you think maybe there's another woman, but not really. Just yeah, the way he was, like,
just came to see her.
And I love that she didn't even, like, hesitate, just hugged him. Yeah. It was, we all needed it.
And you know when you're, like, just in a fucking bad place and you don't want to be alone and then someone's there.
I also, hugs are so important, which is why this year sucks so much. I finally finished that podcast episode on Brené Brown's, the one with the woman who wrote The Burnout Cycle.
Yeah,
Emily and Amelia. I don't know their last names.
Yeah, but The Stress Cycle.
Yes, and talking about one of the ways to deal with or to like complete a stress cycle can also be a 20-second hug with someone. And I've heard that before, but forgot it. And now it was like reminded, and I made Jake hug me the other day like that. And it is so special. And I loved what they talked about. It's not like one person is leaning in. You're both holding your own ground and you're just like, and you feel it. Like,
yeah. John and I did that the other night. And I told him about it. I said, like, this helps like complete the stress cycle. This is one of the ways you can do it. And yeah, we just stood in the kitchen and like held each other. But like you said, like 2 feet grounded, like I wasn't leaning into him or he wasn't leaning into me. And also if anyone wants to read, this is called Burnout. It's by Emily Nagoski and Amelia Nagoski. I have it on my nightstand. I've read like half of it. And it just talks about like, just because a stressor is gone doesn't mean you actually completed the stress cycle. And so they talk about all these different ways to complete your stress cycle in order not to burn out. And one of them's hugging. One of them's also laughing and crying.
Oh, which, yes, I messaged Bree when I heard that because laughter, like, and they're not talking about, I love that they mentioned there's a type of laughter that just like is a conversation filler.
It's like polite.
Yeah. It's not really true laughter, but that true laughter where you lose control of like your body and you just can't stop, that also is another way, which I don't have those often.
Yeah.
I do with you. Like, we have had them quite, and how you cry sometimes.
Like, I've said before, probably on the podcast, that that type of laughing and my crying are so closely connected. All of a sudden, I'm sobbing. Like, if I'm laughing, you know, it's like you cry when you laugh, like, oh, my tears. But, like, I start to go into, like, sadness cry. It's very weird what can happen when I tip too much.
Well, it's because they're connected. And yeah. Like, and then, that losing control of your body, releasing something.
Like, honestly, I think that I've had moments where I'm, like, finishing a stress cycle and don't realize it. Because they also talk about, like your body can physically shake.
Yes.
And it's a really cool book. Highly recommend it. But hugging Winston, Maggie, stress cycle. Beautiful.
Just on the laughing thing one last time. I feel like the two times that I can definitely think of were the pancetta moment.
Oh God.
And also the
Shrek memes.
Shrek memes, and also the what would you rather?
Would you rather with the hands thing?
Yeah, those. I feel like I kind of want to go back and listen to those sometimes because,
yeah, where you just can't. Well, the pancetta one, we literally had to pause the podcast because I was tipping into that sadness cry. And I was like, I can't.
It's so weird. I wish that those moments happened more.
Yeah.
Like, not just with you, but like in general. I don't know. Is life not funny?
I don't know. No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Sometimes you just have to like look up funny memes or something and really get yourself going.
I also think it happens when you shouldn't be laughing.
Oh yeah.
That like church laughs. Like,
I think it's like when you're stressed out, you're stressed as fuck, or you were stressed and you need to like get.
Yes.
Cause it would be interesting to like reflect back on those nights. Like maybe I had a really bad day or something. Right. And I was just like finishing it out with a real like pancetta. Well, and that is just funny. That pancetta. Was like down my pants, my shirt.
It was somewhere. You like?
Oh, it was like on my thigh.
Yeah,
stuck to me
from dinner, which we ate in the living room. Back when you used to come to my house.
I've been there before.
Okay, so Maggie, do we have?
We talked about Teddy. Did we miss anyone?
I mean. I'm sure we did, but I would say nothing that didn't like totally shock us. I mostly can't believe we have to wait till March 4th.
I know, that's such a long time.
That's 2 days away from my 32nd birthday.
Oh my God.
That's when that was like the last weekend that the world was normal, at least in Michigan.
We went out and we had, we went out to Osteria Rosa and then we had wine at that wine bar thing.
Yeah.
And I have a photo of you posted on my Instagram of you holding a glass of red wine.
It's a great photo of me.
It is. But like, I don't usually do things like that. Like post like a photo of my friend. So
you're welcome. Yeah, people just do those on stories now.
Yeah. Like, people don't post that shit.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I thought you looked great. I wanted everyone to see it and see it over and over again.
Yeah, so I know nothing's all going to go away when the clock strikes midnight and John gets down on one knee. I know that nothing will actually change, but it feels good.
Yeah.
So
I don't have anything else. Do you want to rate the episode?
It's not a 10. Maybe an 8.5 or a 9.
Yeah. Okay. Like I don't.
Parts
of it were really good, but I don't feel like out of like a mid-season finale that it was that like.
Right.
But I also feel like the whole season
has been epic, sort of.
Yeah. So maybe they just couldn't. I mean, the big thing was that, you know, Mara got worse.
I think I just knew that was happening. A, because of the teaser trailer from the week before, and B, because I knew the beach had to come back.
Yeah, so anyway.
I just hope, I would like more Derek, because I want them to have an actual conversation.
Yeah, not just Meredith.
Yeah, and I also would like more people to show up on the beach.
Do we think that's going to happen?
Even if it's current cast members, I just think the idea of them having these different kind of conversations outside of COVID world.
Kind of like how Bailey showed up there.
Yes, like yeah. I need more lightness.
Yeah, I agree.
So, what would you like to rate this year?
In general? The year? Holy shit, that's a lot of pressure. I mean, you know, it was a dumpster fire. But my life was like, I had good things, but like in, for the world, like, I don't know, nothing, no points gained, zero. I mean, I guess we
elected
a new president, so that maybe gets a 0.5.
Yeah, it's impossible to rate because there's really good and there's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, there are just like, you know, I don't know.
But we're both alive.
We have our health. We have families. I mean, if I'm being honest, I had a lot of really, you know what? No, I shouldn't like, because the world is in a bad place. Like I'm allowed to be grateful and have joy. And so I am extremely grateful that I like started grad school. I got engaged this year. We bought a house. Like we had a lot of really positive, wonderful things happen in our life. And I am, like you said, I have my health and my family has their health. So I'm very, very grateful for all of those things. And and I hope next year we can get married. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I hope that your storyline does not become Heather McMahon's.
I know. We almost got married this year because I was like, let's just do it. Let's just find a wedding in 6 weeks.
And I'm glad you didn't.
John was like, no. can't do it. I just watched his like brain exploding. Like, no. I was like, I don't give a shit about the shoe trim. I don't care if anyone sees our house like this. Like, let's just get married.
And are you going to get shoe trim before the wedding?
Oh, yeah.
That feels like a hard task. We still don't have it in our house.
You don't?
No.
Oh, no.
I just painted over it. I painted it white and I was like, no one can tell.
Oh, no. We're going to do the whole. It's fine. What about you? What do you rate this year?
Same idea where it's like you feel bad celebrating, but I like my mental health was really good this year.
That's great.
Which is bizarre.
That is bizarre.
That everyone else's was bad and mine was actually quite under control. Jake started paramedic school.
Which is great.
I taught my first dance class.
Which was so wonderful. Everyone, I took Abby's dance class. I died. Because number one, okay, I want to actually talk about this very fast. We used to take dance together and it was like not great dance.
Hip-hop.
But like in the beginning when we were doing like stretching and you had us do like flat backs, I was like, oh, I know this shit. Like hitting each thing. But then we started doing some dance moves. And as I was doing them, I was like, I don't know how to dance. Like I've lost all of it. There was this one move where you like jumped and lifted your arms and then like, I don't know, did this thing. And I could not get it down. And I told John, I did it in the living room. And I said, you are not allowed to come in here. This is me time. I'm going to be moving my body. And he said he like sneaked in twice and saw me. And he saw me doing the one move I couldn't do. So I'm just like, I can't do this. And then it's hard. It's also hard to jump in an old home. I'm like, I might go through the floors.
Yeah, everything rattles too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Abby did such a good job. It didn't seem like it was her first class she was teaching. She seemed so confident and like encouraging and...
Also, they're virtual, so I'm just going to shout out to myself. If you follow This Body GR, as in Grand Rapids, on Instagram, there, hopefully in the new year, will be more virtual classes, and they're $10 a class.
It was so much fun. We did Christmas music.
Yeah. And I would like to do more. What if I did a Sad Grace music?
Oh my God. Yes.
Or like a Dance It Out. Oh my God.
You should do all Grace music with a Dance It Out.
Yeah, like a Tegan and Sarah.
I can help you find the music.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun, but we do, there's a lot of parts where it's just like a dance party and it maybe helps you release emotions. Wow. And
I mean, I'm going to get a little vulnerable on the podcast here, but Abby did this whole song that was just improv, and you kind of gave us some like things to do,
yeah.
But then you were like, okay, just keep doing it. And she just kept calling out to us. And then she made us close our eyes. And I was like, fuck you. Cause the minute I closed my eyes, I like was able to like let go of the fact that I was in my house and I just like could get into my body. And I just started crying super hard. And I told Abby that afterwards. But all I could think was like, oh my God, I haven't done something like this for myself in a very long time. I was super stressed with grad school. It was right before.
It was
before.
A bad week.
For, yeah, yeah, like it was a very bad week and I was just like in my own body. And so follow her thing so you can take a Zoom class because this has been a really shitty year.
Yeah, and one of the big rules in mine is no exercise talk. Like obviously you're sweating and you're moving, so it's not exercise, but the point of it is not to earn anything or burn anything or...
No, but you will because I was like...
Yeah, I was sweating. Yeah, and so, and it's... I try to make it as adaptable as possible and I'm going to get even better at it. That was literally the first class I taught to real humans. So anyways, I would love to have our Grays babies join us. It's This Body GR. So anyways, that's...
You launched that this year.
Yep.
Which was amazing.
And I have a deck.
You have a deck.
I've always, it took a pandemic for us to have a deck. So.
And McCoy
has a new leg. He's refurbished.
Oh, poor buddy.
Furbished.
Oh God. So. And at that.
All right, listeners, please drop your manifestations and the things you are proud of yourself for in our Facebook group. We'd love to hear them. Also, please feel free in the next 3 months to write some Grays fan fiction, to give us your theories. We're going to need something to get us through these next few months.
Yes.
So we will be back in the new year and we are so thankful for you and 2020. You stuck around and we appreciate it.
We love you all.
Want to call time of death?
I will. Time of death, 10:47.
Beep.